Hey guys, this is Nathan Chen, U.S. champion.
Hey guys, it's Christy Amaguchi.
I'm Madison Chalk.
And I'm Evan Bates.
Hey everyone, it's Vincent Joe.
Hi, this is Sasha Cohen.
Hi, I'm Maya Shibutani.
And I'm Alex Shibutani.
Hi, I'm Patrick Chan.
Hi, my name is Evgeny Medvedev.
Hello everybody, I'm Luca Lanotte.
And I'm Anna Cappellini. Welcome to Ice Talk.
Time flies when you are watching figure skating every weekend. It is now mid-January, and we have just wrapped up the last of the national championships with the Canadian Figure Skating Championships finishing up over the weekend. Welcome back to Ice Talk, everyone. It is episode 58, and I am Jackie Wong of BrockerSkating.com. 1 week after the U.S. championships were completed, Canada crowned its four champions, and three of the four titles were won by the favorites heading in. For the men, Patrick Chan won a record 10th Canadian title, while Tessa Virtue and Scott Moyer won number 8 with a perfect score in the free dance, and Megan Duhamel and Eric Radford took their 7th consecutive gold. And there was a mini upset in the ladies' event where Gabrielle Daleman, the world bronze medalist, won her second title over Caitlin Osmond, the world silver medalist, who was the slight favorite coming in. But figure skating does not take a break from here. This week, we have the European Figure Skating Championships taking place in Moscow, a tune-up for a number of skaters leading up to the Olympics in February. And I will be joined by 2014 World and European Champions Anna Cappellini and Luca Lanotte as they make their preparations for their 11th Europeans and 3rd Olympic Games. And later on, we will have newly crowned U.S. champion Brady Tennell on the podcast. She joined Nick McCarville right after she won that title in San Jose for a quick chat on Ice Talk. Well, before we get to that interview, I am super excited to have Anna Cappellini and Luca Lanotte on the episode today. They are about to compete at Europeans, where they have been on the podium for the past 5 years, including a win in 2014. And incidentally, that was also the year when they won their world title. Anna and Luca, really excited to have you two on the podcast today.
Hi, we're excited too.
Hello, hello everybody.
First of all, Happy New Year.
Thanks.
Happy New Year.
what did you do for the holidays?
It's been interesting these holidays because, of course, the preparation for Olympics was already underway, but after nationals, we decided to take a few days off because we were really tired from all the competition that we had been doing in the previous couple of months, especially because we competed on essentially alternate weeks for about a month and a half and in three different continents. So when we came back from finals and we did national the same week, like 2 days after, we were really burned out. So we it's something that we had discussed before, especially if we were going to qualify for finals, to take 4 or 5 days off just to recharge and come back into training with all the willpower and energy, mental energy that you need for this particular end of the season, which includes just the three major competitions, these meat grinders that are so, so important. So we wanted to face those with all the energy that we could recover.
Luca, what about you?
Well, I had the chance during this little short period to go to of a holiday during Christmas to go to England, actually, because my girlfriend is from England, from Leeds in Yorkshire, and with our Giacomo, our son, to the grandparents, the English grandparents, to spend a little bit of time also over there. Was amazing. We had the chance to relax, as Anna said, you know, for the second half of the season, because I mean the first half was very intense, and also the second one is going to be even more, you know, stressing. But we need really like to get a little bit far from what was the season. Sometimes it's necessary to stay, you know, focused into your goals, but it's important also to know for a short period even when to just, you know, step back and take your time, really, to remember that, you know, it's important, but to succeed is important also to see things as they are.
The last time I saw you both was at Skate America, and you were mentioning the Grand Prix Final. How did that feel to qualify for another Grand Prix Final? Did you expect it? Was it something that you had been looking forward to?
It was sort of a weird moment because it was the craziest deja vu of all times. We were qualifying again for Grand Prix Finals in Lake Placid, where we qualified for our first Grand Prix Finals, standing in the very same spot and waiting for the Russian couple to skate to see if we were going to qualify. So it was insane. I can't even describe it. It was traveling back in time and just completely, it was unbelievable. But of course, we were very excited. We knew we had the chance, though it was proving to be kind of a rough week. Like I said, I think it was a little hard to manage our energies throughout this Grand Prix season. So we came back home and we, again, took a little time off and really tried to balance sleep, rest, and training as best we could, because at the Grand Prix Finals, we wanted to step up the game and skate better than we did in Skate America. So we were excited. It was really, really hard physically, but we're proud of what we did. We managed to qualify, and then we went out there and skated what we think is one of the best competition of our lives, performance-wise, at least. It was successful. I mean, it was a great month of December, for sure. Tiring, but great.
Skate America was a bit of a crazy competition all around. It was good that we all sort of survived it. Europeans are coming up in a few days. You mentioned before we started recording that that you're leaving tomorrow afternoon, so lots of packing to be had. And of course, you guys are no stranger to that competition at all after all these years. How do you feel going into the competition this week?
Well, we feel very, very, very excited. I mean, we can't wait to be there. We are ready. We are exactly where we want to be at this point in the preparation for Olympic Games and Worlds. So we're ready to go. We just need one more practice tomorrow morning and then go to the airport. We have been on the podium at this competition for 5 years. So we never train for results. We always train for performances. We always want to be focused on performances and deliver the best performance we can in that moment. That's what we have done at the Grand Prix Final. As Anna said, was the best performance of our life, performance-wise. what we want to do here is really like deliver and try to be the best version of ourselves we can.
Last year was a little bit of a crazy Europeans for you because there was that short dance scoring, I wouldn't say controversy, but just that scoring snafu that happened with the short dance there. What was that about? I'd love to hear what your side of that whole story was.
I think most of all, it was kind of a crazy experience because you never expect something like that to happen, or like it never at least happened to us. So we went home, we were doing physiotherapy, and then the news came that we were in second, not in first. So that was crazy. It wasn't the easiest thing to handle, for sure, mostly because it was unsettling as a process. You can't quite believe what's going on. But to be honest with you, we were completely 100% behind the decision, because once we ourselves reviewed the short dance, we were able to see that the mistake that the panel did, and it was a fair decision, technically speaking. Our concentration was on dealing with this strange process, but we did not question whether it was a fair decision or not. I mean, it was clear as day. It was a mistake, and it was unfortunate the way that it happened. But I think that they've actually changed the rules about that after the incident, so it's never going to happen to other skaters again, which is good. I mean, like I said, the most unsettling part was giving back your medal and redoing the draw, this sort of thing. I'll say it again. It was a fair decision. We accepted it, and we just moved on to the free dance, like we had been in second place the day before, and nothing else had happened.
And for the listeners who need a bit of a refresher on what happened last year, it was actually in the short dance where Anna and Luca were first after the short dance, but there was a kind of a protest that happened after the short dance results were final, and it was determined that they had an extra element in the short dance, which ended up costing them a point in deductions for that extra element. So they ended up being second instead of first after the short dance, and had to give back their medals and redraw the entire free dance, and all that happened. But, you know, kudos to you for sticking it out and ending up second in the free dance. Congrats on doing that. I wanted to change topics a little bit and go back to earlier in the season. You guys started the season a little bit later than you had hoped to because of an injury to Anna, to your hand, that required a number of stitches, I think during the summer. And then you had to withdraw from Finlandia because you weren't quite ready for that competition yet. So tell me a little bit more about what happened and how it affected your training going into this season.
You know, we were really, really upset about this injury because it was so silly and so small in some ways, but it was really time consuming because what happened is we skated into each other during our twizzles. And because we are holding our blades up, Luca's blade ended up cutting my hand, and I needed 15 stitches, which even I couldn't anticipate when I saw the cut, but it was really deep, and I was put under heavy antibiotics for a few days, so I was feeling really bad. Then for about a week, I had a heavy bandage, like something to protect the hand, so I was able to skate again, but not able to do much. It was really painful, and I took another week after that to be able to do almost all the elements. But it was almost a month later that I was able to actually hold on to Luca's hand like strongly as one needs to do lifts and spins. So everything was delayed, I would say, by 2-3 weeks, just because you don't realize there's so much you can't do if you can't use your hand. I was able to skate, but we were in the process of getting the programs ready and getting to know the programs. And it's really just a loss of time at that point. In September, whatever stops you sets you back more than the actual injury. It sets your preparation back. So you have to take a step back and then go in again. So we initially we wanted to do Lombardia Trophy, but this happened, I think, 10 days before Lombardia Trophy. So then there was Finlandia that we had to skip. So we really wanted to put our programs out there once before the Grand Prix. So we settled on Minsk, which was a little bit close, and it made the whole series of events very tight and stressful and tiring. But we felt it was necessary for our confidence to go out with our programs once. So that's it. We tried to make up for the time as much as we could. And by the time Minsk rolled around, everything was ready to go. So it wasn't too bad.
Luca, what were you doing during that whole time when Anna was not able to train full out?
Well, we were still kind of training. As Anna said, we could she could skate. So we work on the choreography, basically slow. We were still trying to, you know, perform our programs. They're just, you know, like just marking, kind of try to study all the movements, all the technical, you know, details, like step sequences. I was trying to hold not her hand, but, you know, like in the middle of the arm, like around the elbow. So we were trying to find ways that, you know, were allowing us to still study a little bit our programs.
Well, I mean, it ended up being okay because your season has been very solid. Probably one of the stronger seasons you've had over the last couple of years. I feel like a couple of medals on the Grand Prix, and like we said earlier, qualifying for the Grand Prix final. This is your fifth time qualifying for the Grand Prix final. A personal best short dance score earlier in the season, and then your seventh Italian title. So thinking about all of that in a whole big bucket, what has been your highlight so far this season?
I think definitely the highlight must have been the Grand Prix final, just because by that time our programs were really ready and we really knew them. And we have been trying to work on our performances, the way we attack our performances. And we've been reflecting on on our career and what we want to achieve in this past, in the next few months. So we really just want to be able to express ourselves at our best and be even less concerned with results, but really with becoming the best, with performing the way that we are actually able to, because sometimes you're able to do it in practice when you're carefree and you're not able to really show yourself when you're nervous and all of those people are watching and judging you. So we went into the finals really telling ourselves that this was training for the bigger stage, for the Olympics, for Worlds, for Europeans. So we wanted to practice our new attitude towards competition. So we came out of that event really, really proud of ourselves. Then we were sixth, okay, but we were close to the podium, yeah. And were really energized and excited about the possibility of improving and getting closer to that podium. So it was a great event for us. I think definitely the highlight of all of those we're participating in this year.
You guys were only less than 3 points away from the podium, right?
Was the perfect situation to experiment, you know, how much we could push ourselves into the performance. Like performing 100% is not always easy because, you know, it's a very technical sport. Something goes wrong, like even a little scratched edge, and you're out. You're out of the game.
Yeah.
So there we really tried, like, but since like the short dance, so before like we knew we were six and everything, since the short dance, we said, okay, this time is the time. We have to try it. We can't see how it goes. We can't manage the situation. We have to make the situation be what we want. We went on the ice and we just pushed each step like there is no tomorrow. So we were really like going for it. And we loved it. We really love to perform like that because there is no other way. Now, this year, at our, you know, after all these years, the Olympic season, at our age, there is no other way you can compete.
Speaking of age, I mean, you guys are no strangers to competition now. Your first senior season was 2006-2007, so 12 years later, 12 seasons later, you've done so much, you've won so much in figure skating. What has kept the two of you going after all of these years?
We've always dreamed of being here, of being at the top of the sport. We were just like young teenagers and we were looking at the competitions and at videotapes, video cassettes, like we had back in the day. We were kids.
VHS.
Yes, VHS. Gotta love it.
And we just dreamt so much that we made it happen for ourselves. I think that this shared dream was what brought us so far. Also, we've been able to work on our relationship, who has developed so much during the years. It's helped us so much improve ourselves as people, as athletes. We've been pushing each other, challenging each other, supporting each other, good time, bad time in our skating life, in our personal life. So we've become family, really. And I think with holding each other's hand, I know it sounds a little cheesy, but like we can pretty much take on everything. Like we've really walked through hard times, hard competitions, hard situations, and we can treasure all the experience. And there, even, you know, something unexpected like last year that no one expects to happen and no one had experienced before. And we just power through it because when you have the right person, the right relationship, the right situation, and you share this passion so much as we do, there's pretty much nothing you can face, really.
Of course, you've had some very good company in Italy, Carolina Kostner, Valentina Marche, and of course Anna, your husband Andrei Hotaryk. All of you have represented Italy since the mid 2000s, so what has it been like to essentially grow up with all of these great champions with you as friends and as teammates?
It was amazing. I mean, having great companions in your path is amazing. It's beautiful. And I feel our team, as you said, like grew up together. So what this is what make us, I think, don't want to say the best team in the world, of course, we're not. But still, like, we started as teenagers, as kids all together. Now we are adults, married with families. So makes us, you know, like rocks as athletes and as adults, you know, like as professionals. I like really much our team as it is now, because we grew all together. And through, you know, like problems, you know, in competition and out of the competition, like me and Anna, we did together. But it's true, it's like that. And I think it's something that we all should be proud of it, I think.
Definitely save room for the skaters who were born in the 80s, right? Anna, you and Andre got married a few years ago now. How has it been to be in a marriage between two world-class and still competing figure skaters?
Well, you know, from one side, it's very helpful to have someone that goes through exactly what you're going through, because you can understand each other so well. You don't even need to talk. Sometimes, really, one says, "How was practice?" The other one raises an eyebrow, and that's all that needs to be said. From the other side, sometimes take a break and not talk about skating and try to do something else. It's hard to forget about skating when you're not thinking about skating. There's someone else who's maybe talking about it, because they have their own issues, their own problems, their own things that they want to talk about. So we recently moved back to my hometown, which made things easier in the sense of distraction, because we have friends and family here. We've been able to hang out a little more and try to make this season a little less skating focused, because it already is like almost too much. We're both so focused, but there is so like a good sides, bad sides, and we just try to survive this trip together best we can and having the best time we can.
How do you feel about all his antics on Instagram lately?
He's really been able to express himself, I have to say, because he's he's such an energetic guy. You have no idea. It's really hard to see Andre just relaxing on the couch. So, doing some extra gym, coming up with extra tricks. A little while back, he was going on this electric bikes a lot. And I was saying, but it's your day off. Don't you just want to relax? And he's totally deaf to that kind of talk. I think that he's found a way that really lets him be the kid that he wants to be. he's so strong. He's so creative in so many ways. He's even a great cook. I told him he should start Instagramming all his creations, because he's really passionate about it. But he hasn't started yet. I don't know. Maybe you'll see him on MasterChef Italy sometimes. We'll see.
There we go. I feel like you've unlocked a different side of Andre Hotark over the past couple of years.
He's such a better guy than I am.
Luca, you're still a pretty new dad. What, a year and a few months? And of course, you're engaged to Eve Bentley, a fellow ice dancer. How's juggling fatherhood and figure skating?
It's beautiful. It's the best. No, it's really amazing. It's really the best experience of my life. Having a family, having a son, of course, is a responsibility, is a challenge, is tiring, is whatever you want, but is just beautiful. Yeah. The energy, the happiness that my son and my family, Eve, gives back to me when I come back home, even dead, tired, so tired from training, it's unbelievable. Like, I'm the happiest person as soon as I get home, you know, even if I had a terrible day, you know, they can light me up, if I can say, right? It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, Make families, people. You know, whoever is listening to us, because it's beautiful.
I was just waiting for the Olympics, you know.
Yeah, you better wait. I mean, there's still something to do, some job to do.
Yeah,
but
a little
something like,
called the Olympics. Yeah, are you gonna get Giacomo into skates anytime soon?
If he asks for it, if he will do what makes him happy. You know, like if skating doesn't make him happy, it's fine. It's totally all right. I mean, well, I can watch another sport for the rest of my days, you know. I'm going to be happy even with that.
Well, once he sees those VHS tapes of you guys skating, right?
That's... Exactly. YouTube will be obsolete by then.
Yeah.
I know. I wanted to talk about your programs this season for just a bit. The short dance this season is Latin. And you've got two pieces that are samba, one that's a cha-cha for your short dance. And the last time we had a Latin short dance was 6 seasons ago. So comparing where you were back then, where you are now, how has your skating changed since then? And how did you approach the short dance this year?
We had so much fun. And once again, it was such a deja vu because we started with Latin. And we're probably going to finish with Latin. So again, it feels like our career has really come full circle. We wanted this time to do something that was more modern, that was extremely energetic. Because like we've said, we're experienced, we've been around a long time. We've tried a few things and we don't want to be the old ones. We have still so much to give. That's how we felt. And so we wanted to rediscover ourselves in this Latin program and challenge ourselves physically, because let me tell you, having no slow section in the short program, it makes it that much harder. Latin is so energetic. It takes life out of you. That's why this summer when I started to train, we were up in the mountains and we were just blue, oxygen deprived the first few times that we finished our short dance. But we've had lots of fun with it. It's a program that we're really proud of. We've mixed some musics that were in our mix, possibility mix for a while, something that really entertained us. And we just wanted to entertain the people because we've discovered with time. In the beginning, you're really results focused because, of course, you want to climb up the rankings, but we've also discovered the reward that it is to have the audience behind you, entertain the audience and create a connection with them. It's just so fun and so fulfilling in a different way that we really want to give the people this and have people give energy back in this sense. So we're really focused on that. And I guess Luca can talk about freelance now.
Well, speaking of free dance, I mean, you two are very much known for your character-driven free dances, and this season's no different with your Life is Beautiful free dance. What was the inspiration behind this program, and what do you hope to accomplish with it with the audience?
Well, we wanted to bring up for the season something, you know, like more in our style. You see, if you understand what I mean, like in the short dance, we pushed ourselves, give to the public, to the judges, something energetic, explosive, fresh, young, you know, like something incredibly lively, if I can say like that. In the free dance, we really wanted to go for something that was more us, completely Anna and Luca, you know. So we were trying to find something, you know, Italian, because we think that during the Olympic season at the Olympic Games is nice to bring something that is related to your country, because, you know, it's nice to make richer the world with your own culture. That I think what that's is about, you know, also at the Olympic Games, you know, like get together to, you know, like express sport at the maximum level, no matter where you're from. So we were looking here and there, and, you know, this year was the 20th anniversary for the winning of the Oscar of Roberto Benigni and La Vita Bella, Life is Beautiful. We watched the movie again. We loved it. We cried, of course, because you know, that's the ending is just...
How do you not cry, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, personally, I'm really... It's not just a beautiful soundtrack from Nicola Piovani, but it's also like the message that this movie gives touched us really deep, because it's not just, you know, it's a love story, but it's a love story on different levels. It's a love story, first of all, in the first half, it's a love story between a man and a woman. So me and Anna, we are expressing during the freedance that's the first half, you know. But on a personal level, it's also a story of a family. It's a love story between, is the love from a father to the son, is the best gift, you know, like a father could give to his son, and it's his life. And so, I mean, on a personal level, again, I mean, for me, that was, I mean...
That speaks to you.
Yeah, it destroyed me emotionally. No, like, I was just, all right. That's the best message I can give, you know, to the public and to my family and to my son, you know. It's a present that I give to him, you know. It's for him. It's for what happened to me in the last year. It's us and me in so many ways that was absolutely perfect to skate. It was impossible not to choose these freedoms. You know, finishing these 4 years, the Olympic season in Milan with this music, with our families watching us, we're gonna cry for sure, you know, like, as like at the end of the movie.
So. Yeah, it's the Olympics, it's Worlds, there's gonna be a lot of crying. You actually just preempted my question, because I was gonna talk about after Europeans and the Olympics with the World Championships in Milan, which is basically gonna be home for both of you. And Worlds hasn't been in Italy since 2010 when it was in Torino. And so how much are you looking forward to having it in Milan?
Very much. I think that from a point of view, it can be hard to skate in your country because it's really hard to stay in your bubble and you're sort of in the mix all the time with so many people that you know and want to encourage you, give you advice, be part of the moment. But that can be distracting because when you're on the other side of the world, that doesn't usually happen. You're sort of alone and everyone's asleep. And so it can happen that you feel more pressure for it. But I'm glad that we had the chance to experience that in 2010 because I feel like I know better what to expect from myself and what to expect from everyone else. So the attitude that I need to have, of course, when you're living such a big moment, you must be careful about letting the emotions flow so much. You're there to do your job and you need to be focused on the job, and your job needs to be the same whether you are on the other side of the world or in your hometown. So I just want to be able to do what I want to do, even in this ambience. I want to be able to do it better because of all the people that are going to be present and are going to be in the room with us when we skate. So it's really exciting. I'm really excited to try this experience again with the experience that we had from the time before.
Yeah, I'm now skipping around a little bit, but third Olympics coming up. In your careers, have you at all given any thoughts about where you'll go after this season?
You know, because time is it's subjective. So because you have, if you're having a good time, it goes by so fast. But if you have these major events and competitions coming up, it feels still so far ahead in the future, our lives after skating. I know that we're going to want to stay involved and we'd love to be able to perform in shows because it's something that we've been having fun doing and that we're really interested in because it's the possibility to express yourself without any worries about rules and you're so much freer to...
illegal elements, anything, you know, extra turns, you know.
Yeah, no.
There are no medals to give back.
No, my lord. No, and no point deductions for extended lifts, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, all of that, like all the judging side, it's out the window, and it's you and your judge is the public. It should be so interesting. Like I said, last year at Worlds, we experienced one of the best moments of our career when the entire crowd in Helsinki stood up at the end of our program, because we knew that we really put our hearts in that performance and that we expressed it so well that the people immediately gave a response, and we were currently ranked 8. I mean, a standing ovation for a couple who was in 8th place was not exactly a given, but it was such a, it was like our medal from the public. And we, our hearts just melted when we saw that. And so we really just want to explore this area, creativity and connection with the public, entertainment. So for sure, we're going to work towards doing something like that. And I'm sure that we will in some ways be involved and give back, whether it's the federation or coaching. I have still no clear idea what that's going to be. Some projects on the horizon, but I even don't want to discuss it now with the people, because everything is, still has to happen, it seems.
There's so much of the season still left to go.
Yes. It's 2.5 months, but yeah. It's like 2.5 years.
Yeah, exactly. We're talking literally hours before you leave for Moscow for the European Championships. The short dance starts on Friday. You're fairly late in the lineup there, with competition starting on Wednesday. But what are you hoping to improve on in Moscow as you look toward the Olympics in a few weeks?
Well, of course, we want to try to, you know, perform as we did in the final. So without worries, without thinking about points, no points, levels. Because at the Olympic Games, what we have to do is perform our best. Without the best, there is not even any chance to challenge with the best couples in the world. Talking about, you know, more technically, what we try to improve from the final and nationals, looking to Europeans and Olympic Games, is definitely our step sequences, because we saw that level 4 these days in step sequences really can make a difference. We have been even advises from, you know, like from specialists, controllers that, you know, saw us during the year in competitions, and they said, work on that, because you are literally one step away from the level 4, and that could make all the difference, really. People like the big public might not, you know, notice some stuff, but the skaters, they spend so many hours on so many little details, and sometimes, you know, you lose maybe the big picture. But what we definitely wanted to do is improve our technical skating skills in the step sequences, because turns these days are everything. That's how it is.
Yeah, and, and when it's 1.5 points between a level 3 and a level 4 step sequence, it's huge. You guys are so close to each other. Anna, what about you? Anything else besides what Luca was saying about Europeans and going into the Olympics?
Also, we've made a couple of changes for GOE's purposes. Some elements weren't getting as much as they could. So we have made, especially in the brilliance, I feel, changes that should give best impact to our last few elements, and sort of tweak the finale a little bit to make it grander, stronger. So hopefully it should be something that both judges and public should enjoy more. We definitely feel like the ending of our program is something that we look forward to for many reasons, but also because it's just very empowering now at the end of the program. So other than that, I agree with Luca. Performance and step sequences and a few juries here and there, just going out with a strong, with strong moves, and that's it.
Well, wonderful. I know it's getting a little bit late over there, so I'll leave you guys to packing. But Anna and Luca, looking forward to watching the two of you compete at Europeans this week, and I will see you at the Olympics. So thank you for taking the time to be on Ice Talk.
Thank you, it was our pleasure.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hey everyone, it's Brady Tinnell, 2018 Olympian, and you're listening to Ice Talk.
I actually feel like that's the perfect way to start, because you get to say that you're an Olympian. How has that been feeling the last, you've gotten used to it now, it's been a couple days, right? How has that felt overall?
I'm so proud of it. It's so exciting.
Well, congratulations. And since you won the title, I think it's been a whirlwind. Talk me through a little bit of what you've done media-wise. I know you guys did the Today Show, but there's been a few pretty cool moments overall.
Yeah, we did the Today Show, which was really exciting. I was super excited to do that. We've done so much. It's been so crazy. It's really just a blur.
We've got you on Ice Desk. We were doing some throwbacks to, I loved those like old pictures of you as a kid. So then tell me about last night a little bit. It's Monday morning, by the way, everyone listening to Ice Tech. And you guys got to go through this sort of Olympic torch passing ceremony. Some of the past Olympians were there. What was that like for you just to be in that room with some dignitaries?
It was the most incredible experience. You know, Dick Button came up to me and he was giving me advice, and that is just the most amazing thing I think I've ever experienced. Dick Button is such a legend, and it was such an honor to meet him.
That is incredible. So now as you start to sort of, you know, move past the weekend, or it starts to sink in more, when you look at it overall as a competition, what are you most proud of, how you skated or how you performed, and what are you hoping to then go back home and work on a little bit?
I think I am most proud of how I skated and how I handled myself under that immense pressure. And I can't wait to go back home and just keep working my programs and making them even better than they were here.
And do you give yourself a little bit of time off? If so, how much time would you take off, and what would you get up to? What's kind of prime Brady resting activities?
I will probably go back to the rink on Wednesday. Until then, I will be doing nothing but sleeping and watching Netflix.
Yeah, I think you mentioned during the competition, you've been watching a lot of How to Get Away with Murder. So that and anything else?
Definitely some Supernatural in there.
Supernatural? Yes. I haven't heard of that.
Yes.
And I need to get on the bandwagon?
Oh, yes. There are 13 seasons, so you've got catching up to do.
What season are you on?
Oh, I'm caught up. I've seen the entire show so many times.
Okay. And it's a Netflix or it's something else?
It's actually on the CW.
Okay.
But 12 seasons are on Netflix right now.
But you're not all the way caught up on How to Get Away with Murder.
No, I'm not. I actually have one more episode in season 3, and then I'm going to try to catch up to the 8 episodes that are out right now on season 4.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Okay. Hopefully you'll get some relaxing time aside from everything else you have to do, like going to the Olympics.
Right, exactly.
I thought it was so interesting before the short program and the free skate, you said you didn't like unresolved finishes in stories.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously at that point it was kind of poetic because you hadn't finished your competition. But what was, you know, that time like? Because I think a lot of us were so curious for you. You've been so strong at Skate America and here. How did you sort of continue to focus on what you needed to do and execute in the free skate?
I really just kept to myself and didn't pay attention to a lot of the media that was going on. I just stayed in my little bubble.
Yeah, and that bubble helped. Once you then get out onto the ice, right, you do the final warm-up group, which itself was amazing to see out on the ice. Talk to me a little bit about that time from leaving the warm-up ice to being last in the free skate. How did you make sure there that you were focused to go out on the ice?
You know, I kind of just blocked everything out and told myself repeatedly that I knew what I was doing. I had trained it a million times, and there was no reason for me to be nervous or anxious. I could do it.
And then once you step out on the ice to perform that free skate, what's going through your mind? And are you sort of, Ross Miner was talking about kind of going through a checklist in his
mm-hmm.
head of his elements and trying not to think about the moment and more thinking about, okay, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
I did this, I need to do that. Is that sort of how your brain works, or how are you sort of helping yourself get through a program like that?
It's almost like an out-of-body experience for me. I don't think about what I'm doing at all, because if I think about it, then I will mess up. So my mind goes completely blank, and I just go on autopilot.
And then once you won, and we talked about this on Ice Desk too, but once you win, there was, I think, a little bit of that, like, you're coming back into your body. Tell me a little bit about those, just that couple moments of on the ice, soaking it up, and then getting to your team at the Kiss and Cry and finding out that you were a national champion.
It was amazing. You know, the moments right after I finished my program, I was so excited. I couldn't believe it. It was so loud. And, you know, all that energy, it's so positive when everybody's, like, screaming for you. And I just love that. And then, you know, going over by my coaches, they were so happy and proud of me.
Brady, your jumps have been so strong. I think that's one thing that we learned. A lot of people knew that prior, but we learned especially about you at Skate America. Why is that? You know, where's the background for you as far as skating goes? We know that you had a great junior career, and then you had the injuries sneak up on you. But what have you done to make those jumps so strong? And do you feel that way? Do you feel like, you know, I think sometimes fans with certain skaters, they're like, uh-oh, here goes this element. But with you, that doesn't feel that way with any of your jumps.
I really couldn't tell you why they're so consistent. I think it's just due to the great technique that my coach instilled in me and just my practice habits.
You know, drilling at home, are you guys doing, is it a consistent sort of like jump, 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 jump? Or how do you try to pace yourself when you're actually at the practice rink?
I don't jump quite as much as I used to because of my back. But the jumps I do execute, yep, I try to make count. So when I was coming back, I think I had a limit of about 10 to 20 jumps a day. So of course you want to land the ones that you're able to do. So I think that's part of where that came from.
How is your body just overall? I mean, are you feeling generally okay, aches, pains, etc. from this weekend moving forward?
Yeah, I'm feeling great. Just, you know, tired.
Yeah. You need some sleep, or yeah, just maybe a nap or two.
Yeah, just maybe.
I love talking about the Netflix stuff with you, your hair, like the cool little bits with your mom doing your hair and that kind of stuff. Does she still help with your hair for your programs now, or do you do all of that?
She does help me put the hair pieces in, because that's a little hard for me to do in the mirror. But I can generally do the different hairstyles. Yeah. So.
And what about just in general with your family? I think, you know, it's a certain experience for any athlete to make the Olympics. What was the feeling like? Your mom was the one that got the text message about you going to the Olympics, sharing that with her and the rest of your family.
It was amazing. You know, my brothers were super excited. They've been huge supporters of mine for forever. So it was amazing that they could come and see me here skate at Nationals. This was the first time they actually got to see me skate at Nationals. So that was a really cool experience for them.
So they were actually here.
Yes,
in
they
the
were.
Arena.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah, that's such a cool experience too, because a lot of families don't necessarily get to make the trips.
Yeah. I've been going to Nationals actually since 2012, and I went to Junior Nationals before that, but my brothers have never seen me skate nationally live, so this was really special for me to be able to, you know, have them here when I made the Olympic team.
It's hard to talk about ourselves, right, for anyone, but you're such a new face, I think, to the general public. The skating public knows you pretty well. The big skating fans know you really well.
Yeah.
What do you want people to know about you? You know, when they talk about you at the Olympics, I think we see that you have such strong jumps. You're a beautiful skater. You've arrived in such a moment under pressure. But when people talk about Brady Tennell, what do you want them to know?
You know, I'm just your average teenage girl that loves watching TV and cooking and superheroes. I love superheroes, you know.
Yeah. What is favorite superhero? Who is it?
Oh, my goodness. You're going to make me choose.
Supernatural must have a few, right?
No.
They don't?
No.
I need to watch the show,
okay,
you guys.
Okay, well, I should say that. They are superheroes in their own.
Okay.
But one of my favorite superheroes is Captain America, Iron Man, the Green Arrow, Flash. So I love a wide range.
I love that. That's cool. And what about, you mentioned cooking. What do you like to cook? What are you good at cooking? And what are you working on aside from that?
Actually, my favorite thing to do is my mom makes a giant pot of chili.
And chili.
Yeah, it's so good. But it takes so long to prep for. So I really enjoy helping her cook that. And I also like making chicken with various side dishes and stuff like that.
Yeah, you guys have to eat a lot of chicken, mm-hmm, because of the protein.
Yeah, definitely. And
then just, we were talking a little bit before the ice desk about going to South Korea, just in general. What are you excited about for the trip? Obviously, it's the Olympics.
Yeah.
You want to skate well there, but just as a life experience, I think there's a lot to be soaked in there overall for you and getting the chance to go there really for the first time.
Mm-hmm. I am so excited to experience the culture over there. I think the culture in that area is just so different from ours, and it's such a privilege to be able to experience that.
Awesome. Well, congratulations once again, and I think now we have to challenge fans out there to come up with a superhero name for you.
Right? Oh, yeah, that'd be cool.
I mean, what you've done is pretty heroic the last few weeks, so Ice Talk listeners, Let's hear those names. Thanks a lot, Brady.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all for joining me and Nick for another episode of Ice Talk. As you are preparing yourselves for the upcoming Olympics, be sure to catch all the episodes we have put out this season. We've had some great guests on the show, and so find all of the episodes on Apple Podcasts or on icenetwork.com under the fans page. A great big thanks to Ada Capellini and Luca Lanote and Brady Tennell for speaking with us this week. The European Championships are coming up this week, so be sure to catch all of it live on Ice Network. Ice Talk is produced by Kate Sullivan and, as always, edited by Mickey Brown. From the Ice Network studios in downtown Manhattan, I'm Jackie Wong. Stay cool, and I will talk to you again next week.